Jamona Tira. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Astotra Sutat Sissima The Divine Grace is Confound Acharya Sila Abhaycha Navinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Astotra Sutat Sissima The Divine Grace Sila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Si Kahao Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gitadhara Sivasadi Si Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Asisi Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Si Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Si Mayapanavadiv Dham Ki Jai. Si Jaganapura Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Simata Tulsi Devi Bhakta Devi Ki Jai Sama Veda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai Nithai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories, all glories to Sisi Guru and Guranga. So, welcome everyone again to our famous Sunday feast here in Alachua. I think it's over 10 years ago when I came to Alachua last, so everybody seems strange and new to me. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 21. Title of this chapter is Kama Yoga. Yad yad acharat shrestas tat tat evattaro janaha. Sayat Paramanam Kurute Lokastat Anuvatati. Okay. Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas. Tat Tat Eva Taro Janaha. Sayat Paramanam Kurute. Lokastad Anuvatate. Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas. Tat Tat Eva Taro Janaha. Sayat Paramanam Kurute. Lokastat Anuvatate. Can someone try? Yes, the first six. So, we skip the word-for-word translation, go to translation and purport because of time effectiveness. So, translation and purport by divine grace is confirmed Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, thank you. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Please kindly responsibly repeat. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. I know that, you know, sometimes if people who try to find fault with the Vedic literature, they say all of your things are about man. Because, so here it also indicates he but women also, okay. Women also are leaders. The president of this temple is a proper disciple. female devotees. So so Prabhupada, people in general always require a leader who can teach the people by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of sastra, scripture, to teach the common man, woman also. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Samhita and similar orders, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard sastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Oba gyana tmirandasya gyana jana salakaya saksu militam ye natasmai si gurube namaha si chaitanya manovistam stafi tam yinabhutale stayam rupam kadamayam dadati swa padantikam vancha kalpatari vyacha kripa sundubhya evacha patitanam pavindi vashnubhya namaha Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gududaya Prasvavantu Chitasandhu Tamiyam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pasatya Disatarani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, sometimes people get confused or they mixed up management and leadership, but they are two distinct operational values. Leadership is subsumed in management. Management is like a domain. We have this in the academia. We have a whole faculty of management. And under the faculty of management, we have Department of Political Science, Department of Economics, Department of Leadership, and all this stuff. So a leader basically is characterized by how he or she is leveraging the whole of the community and projecting that leverage towards objective reality of realizing the absolute truth. Or if that is not there, that person could just be characterized as a manager. Because a manager does the right thing at the right time. So in most cases, we'll find that most managers are not really heroes. They're heropreneurs. A heropreneur is somebody who engages someone to do something very nicely, got the credibility for it, but then he goes to claim the credit from the director. That's not a leader. It's called a heropreneur. And heropreneurship is so dominant in modern-day societies. In the secular world, people engage you. In the corporate world, people engage you. Managers engage you. Supervisors engage you to do some things, and you have the expertise in it. You perfected it, perfected that. And he goes to the director to say, I did this. So it's completely different from a leader. For instance, we see Krishna, Arjuna was hesitant to fight. But Krishna persuaded Arjuna to embark on the battle. In fact, one of his strategies for the persuasion was authentic heroism. Authentic heroism is when someone did something, but then he passes the credit to his subordinate. That's what Krishna did on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna was hesitant to fight. He said, hey, Arjuna, I have all these guys here. They are all done. They have finished. I have finished them all. You just go and get the credit. That is a real hero. That's a real leader. And therefore we find that sometimes the leaders, the people who profess to be leaders, they say one thing, but their actions are completely different. I'll give you a typical example. Bhishma Dev was such a powerful figure. But when Draupadi was being derobed in the assembly, he kept mute. He didn't say anything. And when he was on the deathbed of arrows, he was transmitting leadership information culture. So a woman, can you imagine that? If that happens in their society this day, I don't know what is going to happen to that woman. So, for instance, a woman comes to the GBC, is saying something, is giving some cause, and then a woman comes to challenge the GBC and say, hey, you were saying all this stuff. You were there when I was being maltreated, when I was being malnourished, when I was being abused. You didn't say anything. You don't have any authority to come and speak or give this type of cause here. Imagine where that woman would be. Say, in our society, the woman comes to challenge the GBC like that. But, you know, Draupadi challenged Bhishma Dev. Draupadi challenged Bhishma Dev. You're speaking very eloquently, but what were you doing? This is your duty. You're supposed to protect the women, the children, the elders. You were there in the assembly. I was being derobed. You did nothing. And you have the guts to speak leadership philosophy here. But you know what? Bhishma could have said, hey, you nonsense. You're just an ordinary woman. You have no right to challenge me. No, he didn't say that. He unfolded his lapses, his inadequacies. He accepted it. He said, yes, I didn't do anything. At that time, I was polluted. My consciousness, I was undergoing some pathological state of consciousness. My consciousness was polluted from the food of Duryodhan. If someone is feeding you every day, guess what? You will have to align with that person. If even he's a fellow nocrat, a fellow nocrat is somebody who is a fellow, but then, you know, he is the ruler, he is the leader. So we find the case of Duryodhan. Duryodhan was worse than a fellow nocrat. Himself and Dhritarashtra, they were the worst of, you know, people you can consider to be rulers. Because
They base their ruling by usurpation. We have so many Duryodhans on the planet right now. And that is one of the causes of the wars on this planet. We have wars in Europe, wars in Africa, wars here, wars there. Usurpation. People are not satisfied with what they have, the land they have, and they go to invade the other country. So, Dhritarashtra, he wanted everything for himself and for his children. And then Duryodhana was feeding Bhishma. And so when this scenario transpired, Bhishma, he confessed that his consciousness was polluted from the foods of Duryodhana. But he said, but now all of that is oozed out from all of this blood. I'm purified from that pathological state of consciousness. This is the blood from Duryodhana's food. It has oozed out. So the point is, this is a typical example of a leader who accepts responsibility, who is accountable to his misdeeds, who says, yes, I did the wrong thing. And that is why we all revere Bhishma, because he lived by standard. When he was checked by a woman, he didn't fight back. He unveiled his weakness. He told you, lady, this was the cause of my weakness, but I'm purified from it. So leaders have a big responsibility. And sometimes we think the person who is planted there as the president of the United States, or POTUS, president of the United States, he is the leader. Someone could be planted in a position, but he might just be a ruler. That's the difference between a ruler and a leader. The difference between a ruler and a leader. And so, exemplary leadership, this is the core text of exemplary leadership. This was propounded by Lord Krishna himself over 5,000 years ago when Krishna appeared on this planet. He spoke, he repeated this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Now, in leadership studies, there are classical leadership models or classical leadership theories and contemporary leadership theories. Now, incidentally, this leadership model is supposed to be a classical leadership model. But you know what? Because of the violation of academic integrity being perpetrated by modern Western scholars, some two scholars from California, they are the ones claiming now that they have developed exemplary leadership model. They never gave the credit to Krishna. This is the point. In academia, if you get some idea from somewhere, you have to make an attribution. If you don't make an attribution, you are a rogue. You are a thief. You are a violator of academic integrity. So in our movement, we also have integrity. We have four regulatory principles. Those are the pillars of our integrity. Anybody who breaks any of those pillars, you have violated devotional integrity. So integrity is all pervasive. In academia, in spiritual culture, anywhere you go, they have some standard. So exemplary leadership is all about walking our talk, being an example, going the way and showing the way. You can't tell, proper mention the proper, you can't tell somebody not to smoke when you say, what is it? So I remember there was this young boy, I like telling this story, this young boy in New York. So when I was sick, Some time ago, one of my friends, he kept me in his house in Queens for more than 5 years, you know? So we used to go to a program in Queens, and one young boy, about 10 years old at the time, he doesn't like to chant. So his parents entrusted him in my care. Because if the kids don't want to do something, in most cases, the parents, they can't do nothing. And in America, it's even so bad. You have to check how you talk to your child. Otherwise, they'll ask you, "So, Mom, that's why you yell at me?" And I saw this some time ago in Washington, D.C., where a child was politely accosting the mom. So he said, "So, Mom, that's why you yelled at me?" So the mother, you know, realized that she was getting into trouble. So she said, no, I didn't yell at you." So in America is even worse. But then these parents, they entrusted this boy into my care, that I should encourage him to chant. I tried to do that, but first I established some relationship. I established a good friend relationship with him, and I was trying to build up that relationship. So we went for Rata Yatra, and then we are on the Rata Yatra parade. So I was going to the restroom, and then he said he would follow me. So we left the parade, and we are going to the site. And then he said, "Maharaj, can I ask you a question? 10 years old. I said, "You're my friend. Feel free to ask any question." He said, "Can someone be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on mala, on beads, and at the same time watch the television?" I said, "No, that's offensive chanting." And he said, "But my parents do this all the time." So here is just an indication that parents need to be careful. If even your child doesn't do anything devotional, be careful, because they're watching you. And they're going to just go and complain at your back. But, you know, I had a job of trying to encourage him to chant. Now, here he was criticizing his parents. So I told him, "Can you please shut up there? Because you need to chant before you start criticizing those who are chanting. You're not chanting, and now you're criticizing your parents." So the bottom line is that being exemplary, whether you think someone is watching you or not, it's so important. We don't know the mindset of the people around us. They could just use just something that is so minute and amplify on that and destroy even the character of people who are close to them. So being exemplary is so important. And these two scholars, Jimmy and Barry, they developed this exemplary leadership theory, now making it a contemporary leadership model. Originally, this leadership model is a classical leadership model because it was first spoken by Lord Krishna. And if some scholars come to build on that and then conduct some experiments, Jimmy and Barry, they conducted some experiments. They interviewed like 75,000 managers and leaders. And, you know, they were able to get their data. But the point is that if even you have developed a research where you get your original idea, you should make an attribution. This scholar did not make the attribution. And that is where the whole thing goes wrong. We appreciate they are expanding this exemplary leadership theory, which was first propounded by Lord Krishna. But then the wrong in it is that it is not in consonance with academic standard. In other words, there was no attribution to the original thinker. Here, Lord Krishna is the original thinker of this very model. And if someone is being exemplary, he is honored and respected. He will not, people will not attribute, you know, different characterization, negative characterization on that person. But if someone is saying something and doing something else, that is not in alignment with standard political norms, not even spiritual organization. And our society, we are a faith-based non-profit organization. And it is easier, far much easier, to lead a Fortune 500 company than to lead a faith-based non-profit organization like ISKCON. Why is it more difficult to deal with the ISKCON people? You see, you ask your leaders. They have to undergo so much of traumatic experience in dealing with devotees. I remember in Germany, one of Prabhupada's disciples, a good one, Swami, he approached me and he said, "Maharaj, what you said is so true." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I've been listening to your lectures. And what you mentioned about the difficulty in leading or managing ISKCON devotees vis-a-vis the corporate world is so true." I said, "Because we are volunteers. In the corporate world, you're paying the workers. And in ISKCON, we have a very high philosophy. Someone can be here for a couple of years, study the books, and then they become so much philosophically inclined. And you want to tell them something, it becomes so difficult for them to accept what you have to say. In most cases, we claim to know better than everyone else. Even those who were there before us, we tend to claim to know better than them. This is the difficulty in dealing or managing volunteer workers, such as ISKCON. And see, when Prabhupada came to the West, when Prabhupada came to New York, he was dealing with a single generation, the traditionalist. He was dealing with a single generation. Now in our movement, we have five generations. So you tell me how the managers of projects, the temple presidents, the temple commanders, the regional secretaries, the GBCs, how they are going to deal with all of these five generations if they do not evolve their management and leadership knowledge to the point of having generational intelligence. Because it's only generational intelligence that enables you to understand the different mindsets, the modus operandi and modus vivendi of the different generations in an organization like ISKCON. So it makes our present involvement makes it very difficult for managers and leaders to be able to coordinate the services. And then what makes it worse is that we tend to think we know everything, or we know better than even the people who are supposed to be teaching us. And that makes management very difficult. That makes the leaders to have to undergo so much of, you know, a mental perturbation in dealing with circumstances. If someone tells you to lead, it's easy, they have not tried it. Even in your own family, how to be able to direct and coordinate the services in the family is a big challenge. Especially if the leader is maladjusted. Because so many people are maladjusted, And they don't want to align with any other person's idea. And so whatever exemplary standard that you set, they don't give a damn. They just feel, I know it all. My way or the highway. And sometimes this happens also in the families. The breadwinner thinks, my way or the highway. And sometimes not even the breadwinner. Sometimes the consumer, they think, my way or the highway. And then, sometimes there is a clash of interests. And so, what Krishna is mentioning here in this text is so pertinent to our everyday reality. We need to understand, as teachers, as parents, as preachers, the gurus, swamis. And so sometimes we think that we had to be planted in the position to become leaders. But no. Everyone is a potential leader, especially if you have that inclination to marry. You are a leader. You are a potential leader because you have to manage a family. And if even before you even come to managing a team, say a family, or to lead the team or a family, what about leading yourself first? Self-leadership. And that is even the most difficult aspect of leadership. And again, self-leadership was first propounded by Rupa Goswami. He gave very fundamental principles in self-leadership. Washu Wegam, Manasa Kroda Wegam, Jiva Wegam, Utara Pasta Wegam, Etam Wegam Yo, Vishahita Diram, Sarvam Apima, Pritivim Sasishyat. That is like a hard knot to crack. And people don't lead themselves, but they want to control the whole world. How does that work? If I can't lead myself and I want to control the whole world, it just shows that I'm hypocritical. And I'm out to cheat. That is what is transpiring in the political arena. You know, people don't just get pardoned in ISKCON. Say someone falls down and they say, someone comes to say, I pardon him. Everybody will say, no, this is not our system. And so, let's be clear. We want to control the world first, we should control ourselves. We want to lead the world, we should first lead ourselves. And the characterization of leading ourselves is shown by how we are controlling our tongue. Watch your wagon. Our mind, manasa, krodha, anger. Our belly, our genitals. So, whether you fall into any of the generations, whether you're a traditionalist, a baby boomer, a Generation X, a millennium, or Gen Z, everybody has to be able to be situated in self-leadership before attempting to lead others. Otherwise, you hit the brick wall. And so, being exemplary is the watchword in leadership. In fact, one of the major ironies of modern day, or the 21st century systems of leadership, is that people want to rule the state, want to rule the country, want to rule the whole world, but they get into so much complications because of exploitation. And Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita that we have been exploiting the resources of material nature since time immemorial. We are conditioned to exploitation. So we're fine. In fact, I love this gentleman, former governor of New York, Cuomo. During the COVID, he worked so hard. And I was in New York before I left to India. He worked so hard. And before we could know, yes, there were so many reports about the deficiency in his life because of lack of self-leadership. So many women came up to say, he groped me, he did this, he did this. And then the local assembly, the local Congress, they said, you resign or we impeach you. And so he quickly resigned. This is how it is so difficult to lead by example. And our system, we are very strict. I remember having a chat with some reverend fathers some years ago. And then they were trying to gather some information how we deal with our leaders when they fall down. I said, you are gone. They said, you guys are wicked. Because in the Catholic, you know, they push you around, you know. They push you there, push you there. That's what he told me. He said, you guys are wicked. But then, see, in American politics, if you're a felon, it doesn't matter. I know of someone who went to jail. And from jail, he competed for a political position, and he won. So that is, you know, do what I say. Don't look at what I do. And therefore, our system is very outstandingly authentic. We have to teach by personal examples. We can't tell our children to chant Hare Krishna if we don't chant. In fact, if we are not chanting, I remember in Gitanagra, so I was speaking to somebody that, see, your child, your son is 16 years old. He is now like a sweet 16. Girls can just zap him and take him away. Is he chanting Hare Krishna? She said, Maharaj, if the mother is not chanting, how is his son going to chant? This is America. She was very open. In other words, I am not chanting. How is he going to chant? Be an exemplary. Any comments or questions? We have 10 more minutes or so.
What if someone's trying to teach a spiritual principle that's... What if someone's trying to teach a spiritual principle that's... That is like more internal and that can't really be shown by something exemplary. It has to be shown through
Yeah, I understand. Prabhupada taught came to the West to teach spiritual principles.
Yeah, but what if it's like something internal, like how to have feelings and how to manage one's mind and emotions?
Then you have to show, because if it's internal, it is going to be explicit when you violate it, when you go contrary to it. Okay, for instance, you teach someone you have to control your mind, control your anger. And then I saw this when I was in graduate school. Okay? The professor who was teaching us critical, creative and caring thinking. He was such a Parker teacher. But one student did something, and he flared up. For days, he was ranting. For days. He was teaching us to be able, that we should control our temperaments.
So, but could he really show you how to do that through his own, like, example? Or did he have to explain to you?
He explained, but he failed to live by his example.
He failed to.
Yeah, he failed to live by. He said we should be tolerant. We should be tolerant, but he was not showing that tolerance when someone crossed the line.
And so he failed to teach tolerance.
He failed to teach by example.
He
said we should do it, but you see, in America, the watchword is walk your talk.
So he failed to follow his own teaching, but did he teach the lesson? Or
he taught a very good lesson. But so teaching a good lesson and you are not following that, it means it's called hypocrisy.
So it doesn't seem like there's a connection. If you can teach a lesson and not follow that lesson yourself, but the lesson is still taught, you said that someone to teach something, they have to be following that thing. That's like you said, that was like a thing, a hard and fast rule.
No.
But you said something else.
I said if someone, by definition, leadership means going the way and showing the way. So leadership, by example, is what is actually required. Exemplary leadership is imperative in all leadership strata. It's just that if people are practicing, say, political leadership, they don't really care about what you do. You can be, you know, a sex maniac, and you can violate the constitutional codes. But, you know, as far as you can win the votes, you're fine. But exemplary leadership requires that you set the ball rolling. You say one thing, you should demonstrate with your own life about what you are saying. That's why Prabhupada gives the example in the purport that we can't tell people not to smoke if we are smokers. It will not be effective. There was a story about Indian former prime minister, how a lady brought her child to him to tell him to stop eating sweets because the boy was so much after sweets and the mother was being afraid of what could be the consequences in the future if he grows with that type of habit. And then when she went to meet the prime minister, the prime minister gave time and a date of when she has to come back. And when she came back with the child, he simply said, he called the boy and said, stop it, don't eat sweets, stop eating sweets. And so the mother said, is this simple thing you could have told us when we came last time? He said, at that time, I myself am a victim of circumstance. I was having the same problem. And if I told him, my words would not be effective. This is even a politician. Yes.
Maharaj, sometime, like in your class you mentioned about Bhishma Dev. Till today, I know for sure majority Hindus or Indians in India, they watch the television on Mahabharata, but they never see the way Hare Krishna people see because of Prabhupada's commentary, not from Bhagavatam, not because of Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada's commentary. He writes, vice cannot win over virtue, even at the cost of a great personality supporting on that side. So Bhishma Dev is a great personality, but he was on the irreligion, bad side. And to prove that, Krishna put him in that. That's a great service. But I don't think they think he's a good leader. Because he didn't support Draupadi, he didn't protect Draupadi. That was horrible. What is your answer on that for them?
Yeah, from our perspective, he didn't protect Draupadi. And so people say this is a violation of his about responsibility. Now, there are people When we talk about leadership, there are different, like I mentioned, there are different models of leadership. And the models sometimes they're just a little bit different. That is even toxic leadership. And so leadership is multivariant. And so we cannot really say, I've had people, see, these are the things I studied. I did my PhD in management and leadership, so we studied practically all the leadership theories in the world, all management models in the world. And so, when someone says, I'm a leader, for the leadership scholar, it means a lot. They have to analyze their characteristics and be able to evaluate and tabulate and tally it on a map. So anybody can claim to be a leader, and anybody can be a leader. It's a matter of what type, what is the box? Is he a toxic leader? Is he a servant leader? Is he a charismatic leader? There's multivariant leadership models and styles. See, sometimes, you know, people tend to think that leadership is a straitjacket subject matter. No. It's such a complex discipline. And leadership is just a department in management. It's subsumed in management. So anybody can be a manager. Everybody cannot be a leader. Yeah. Anybody can be a ruler. Everybody cannot be a leader. So the assertion that someone is a leader and is not a leader, they have to prove beyond all reasonable doubt based on the attributes of that leadership style.
Anyone else?
The class is stopping at 5 o'clock.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thanks for the great class. And what's the difference between exemplary leadership and servant leadership?
Well, servant leadership and exemplary leadership, they are similar, but you see, the point is that servant leadership, like we find in the case of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was such a servant leader, and the very proponent of the modern day servant leadership model, Greenleaf. He got his idea. That was a leadership scholar who did not violate academic integrity. He read a pamphlet on Eastern philosophy, and just his statement in that pamphlet that he read allowed him or enabled him to explore more on the type of leadership that was described there. And that is how he developed this servant leadership. So the servant leadership and exemplary leadership, they have different characteristics. I give you the key characteristics of exemplary leadership. Leading by example, acting with integrity and demonstrating the behaviors expected of the team. 2, focus on values. Building consensus around core principles and adhering to them. 3, empowerment, developing people and creating opportunities for them to succeed. In fact, sometimes the exemplary leader wants his followers to be more successful than himself. That is real. It's a situation where you have to be free from bias. And then more empowerment. That's talking about servant leadership. Now, servant leadership basically is a good listener. He encourages participative involvement. Servant leader doesn't want to simply make you feel that you're not wanted. He wants to listen to you. If even he does not take all of your advice, he will give you quality time. He wants people to work together.
One of our devotees also wrote some book on servant leadership. Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, also in his leadership book, he wrote so much about servant leadership. In fact, we are supposed to be servant leaders.
Is that what ISKCON recommends?
Pardon?
Is that what ISKCON recommends, servant leadership or exemplary?
No. We are supposed to be servant leadership. But if both of them are required if you want to become a coordinator of services in a volunteer organization. Volunteer organization is very difficult to deal with because people are not being paid. And so you need to be able to coordinate the services in such a way that they have a sense of belonging.
Thank you, Maharaj.
So both servant leadership model and exemplary style of leadership, they are required in leading change in a faith-based non-profit organization like ISKCON.
Thank you.
All right. Yes.
Sometimes there's leaders that don't realize they're leaders.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'd be the servant leaders.
Mm-hmm. In fact, in most cases, people tend to think that you must be planted in a position of management or leadership. But if you are simply being able to motivate someone, inspire someone, you are a leader. Leadership is all about inspiring people to grow in their services. If, for instance, you have a child and you are able to motivate your child, and there are certain ways that people even talk to their children that may not be very much inspiring. I mean, it's like you talk to your child and then you blame the child. You just label, you put him in a box or her in a box and you blame. You're not inspiring that child. But if you have the strategies of being able to motivate even your own child to aspire for higher values, say you want to encourage your child to chant Hare Krishna. First, you need to be equipped with the different positive side effects of chanting Hare Krishna. Because if you tell a child, say, you tell a 5-year-old child, chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead, they say, go back to where? I'm fine here, mommy. So we have to understand how the child is like the common man out there. Even the child is born in devotional life, in devotional service, it's like the man out there who want a quick fix. You have to tell them what they would benefit before they become eager to do something. So if you have those type of technology, then you can easily inspire your child to do things that, ordinarily speaking, you can persuade them to do things like Arjuna was persuaded by Krishna to fight. If we have a high profile sense of persuasion, we can be very great leaders. Because persuasion is not about forcing your ideas on the other party, but being convincing them based on logic, scientific values, etc., on why they need to do that. So yeah, there are people that are not necessarily in position of power, but they are great leaders. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.